Open to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It's our famous scripture because every believer in New Life Church must get a revelation of multiplication. And when you get it, it will work for you. If you don't get it, it won't, because it works by faith. I want to tell you an interesting story that happened to me this week. I was climbing a tree and trimming dead branches out, and my chainsaw slipped and fell out and fell about 25 feet down. And on the way down, it fit few limbs. And it's my baby. This chainsaw is like my baby. I don't let anybody use it. I mean, when somebody using it, I'm like, I mean, it's a nice chainsaw. It's light and it's very expensive, and I just love that chainsaw. And it fell way to the ground, hit few branches, and I heard it crack. I just heard it. Ah, my heart fell with it, you know. As I got down, I looked at that chainsaw. It was busted. The handle was busted. So I knew that Andre had one of my older chainsaws that was kind of broken too and had a good handle. So I went to him. I got a chainsaw. I took both of them apart. And as I took the handle apart, it has two parts together. And inside it had all the wires and mechanical stuff. As I took it apart, all of that stuff just jumped out. All the springs, all the little mechanical parts, everything jumped out on both of them. I'm like, how am I going to put this together? And as I was putting it together, I put one together. And I was kind of quick, you know, I wanted to get the job done. It was Thursday. Fridays I take off, so it was like Friday for me, you know. Just want to get done and go home. So I put it together. It wasn't fitting, so I pressed it in there, put those screws in there. And I started up. It would start up, but wouldn't run. It would just die. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to do it again. So I pull it apart again. I put it back together. Doesn't work. And it took me so much, I mean, to take the handle off, you needed to take like carburetor off and all the air hoses and gasoline hoses that are connected to it. And as I took it apart, I put it back together again, more careful this time. And still wasn't right. I forgot two hoses. Okay, so I had to take it apart, put two hoses in. And it took me like 3, 4, 5 times to put it together. But finally, I got it together. And one thing I know is if I had to take this chainsaw apart and put it back together right now, of all I know, the experience that I got from it, I would do it in 5 minutes. See, last time, when I put it together the last time, I knew it was going to work. Because everything was connected. It was right. Sometimes we come to God and our faith is like this. I hope it works. Yeah, I was fast. I didn't really take the time to find out, to meditate on this revelation. I really, but I hope it works. God, I believe it's going to work. I confess it. Hallelujah. Ba, 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 ba. Hallelujah. You pray in tongues, and it doesn't work. And then you're like, oh, I had that doubt because I didn't put it really together. Last time when I put it together, and what the Lord told me was, when all the pieces come together in right order. You know, you can't put part number 3 before you put part number 1. You have to do 1, 2, and then 3. Otherwise, you have to tear it apart and do it again. And God says, when everything is in order, then your faith is sure. You don't have to even doubt it. You start it up, and it works. Guys, that's how God wants you to know the secrets, the mysteries that Paul says, been hidden before the foundation of the world, and now has been revealed to us through Christ Jesus. There are some secrets in this Bible that are not available to anybody. But it's available to us believers. And it's only to those who will seek the wisdom of God. You know, this word is the wisdom of God. And if we seek it, we begin to understand it. We get a perception of it. And then when we believe something, it works. I don't think Jesus was like I was the first time I started this chainsaw, the first time I put it together. I hope it works. I think He was always like, I know it's going to work. I'm not even doubting. I could climb on a tree and then start it. That's how much I believe it's going to work. Hallelujah. That's why we preach about these revelations so much. Because they have to become a part, like 1 + 1 = 2. Like God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Can I say something here to kind of test you a little bit? Well, God can love the world, right? This is just a thought that I want you to think about. I'm not going to give you the answer. But how come then John, the same guy who wrote for God so loved the world, writes in 1 John, he says, do not love the world or the things of this world. Because he who loves the world does not have the love of the Father in him. So why is it okay for God to love the world and for us not to love the world? That's your assignment for next Sunday. Alright? You're going to need to pray about it. And you need to know why God can love the world, but why he forbids us to love the world. Okay? Alright, let's go to our study today. And Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed Adam and Eve and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, of the sky, and of every living thing that moves on the earth. So listen to this. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Bible teaches us to multiply in every area of our life. Do you know that God wants you to multiply in every area of your life? Everything in your life that increases, that multiplies, is a blessing of God. The good stuff, obviously. Not the sickness stuff. Everything in your life that produces decrease or lack, it's of the curse. Depression, divorce, disease, destruction. Amen? When sin came into the world, it brought curse. And curse always decreases. How many of you know that God created us for good life in this world? He did. He didn't want us to suffer sickness. God didn't even give us sickness. Sin brought sickness. So if you want to be alive and healthy, you got to run as far away from sin as possible. Now, point number one. Did you know that by blessing you, God proves His covenant with you? What is a covenant? Let's talk about what is a covenant. In the old days, what people would do, and this is where the handshake come from. In some pagan cultures, they would take and make a cut on the hand, and another person would make a cut on the hand. And they would do this. They would have the blood running, and they would shake on it, and it would be a blood covenant. Okay? What does it mean, a covenant? Two people would come together. One had money, but was weak. One had army, but had no money. So they made a covenant and said, I'll protect you, but you'll provide money for me. God made a covenant with Abraham. And he said, I will bless you if only you do one thing, if you believe in me. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. God says, if you believe in me, I will bless your seed. And I will multiply you as sand on the sea. That's how big you're going to be. That's how your generation is going to be. As sand on the sea and as stars in heaven. And God says, if you believe me and walk righteously before me, I will protect you. I will provide for you. And a few chapters later, the Bible says that Abraham became very, very rich. Huh. Now let's open to Leviticus. Chapter 26, verse 8. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will confirm my covenant with you. So listen to what God says. The way He confirms His covenant with you is by making you fruitful and by multiplying you. How many of you know that there is a way of the world to get multiplication? Like you can win a lottery, you can go rob somebody, you can become a workaholic and lose your family. That's the world way. I've tried a little bit of the world way, I don't like it. I want to do multiplication God's way. I want to do it by the blessing of God. Okay? So we want to understand this principle of multiplication. God has all the money in the world. God has all the healing in the world. God has all the peace in the world, all the joy in the world. God has everything we need. Now, God wants something from us too. That's why it's a covenant. It's not only one-sided. It's not like, God, let's make a covenant. You bless me, I do what I want. I spend it. That's what a lot of people want. That's what they say. God, you bless me, I'll just go have fun. God says, no. I will bless you,
But what I want you to do is to become a blessing, and through that, bless me back. I'm not talking tithes right now. I'm just talking blessing God with the fruit of our lips, with worshiping Him. Guys, anybody has a dollar? Could I borrow a dollar? Spare me a dollar, please. Come on. Woo! All right, $1. Give it to God. God here. Okay, it didn't work. Hold on. It's going to work. God here. Have it. God here. How come He's not taking it? Whew. Give me 100. I'll throw it. See what happens. If you have a bar of gold, a brick of gold, I'll throw it up there. I might break some, but... Hallelujah. But listen to me. God is a spirit. He's here in this place. But He doesn't want the money. Huh. So what does God want? If I wasn't able to give you anything, my money, my car, my house, what else would you want from me? That's not physical. My adoration, my love, my attention, and my praise. Did you know that words are spiritual? Love is spiritual. Spirit of love. One more thing God wants from you is for you to believe Him. He says, if you believe me, I will bless you. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So all He wants is you and your attention. He doesn't want your stuff, your house, your car, your nothing. He wants you. Oh, isn't it awesome? And God says, if you want me, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's all He wants, for you to delight. I delight in my wife. And this morning, I was just delighting in her. She's beautiful. I mean, she looks beautiful all the time. Okay, I better shut up. It's an awesome thing when somebody delights in you, isn't it? It's awesome when somebody just likes you. It's awesome. All right, so God wants to be loved by us. Now, God had billions of angels in heaven. The Bible says multitude of angels in heaven. But angels are ministering spirits. But He didn't want so much the worship of angels. Nowhere in the Bible it says that angels could sing. Huh. They're ministering spirits. Angels are there to do what God tells them to do. We have a free will. We have a will to choose. We can choose to love Him, or we can choose to love ourselves. And a lot of times we get caught up in loving ourselves. And all of us are guilty of that. So He made a covenant with Abraham. Okay? And now open to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 13. It's talking again about this covenant and about this multiplication. And then your herds and your flock multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies. That your heart will become proud and will forget God. God said, don't do that. After everything happens, don't get proud in your heart. Okay? And then He says, verse 17, otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and strength of my hand has made me this wealth. So when God blesses us, a danger is that we might think that we did it ourselves in our own power. Well, I work hard. Okay? Then the next verse, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who has given you power to make... Say it. What does it say in your Bible? To get wealth. Let's read it again. For it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is of this day. So the reason God wants to bless us in all of the areas of our life, so He can confirm His covenant with us. So He can prove His side of the covenant. God says, hey, My covenant is seen when your life is blessed and everything in your life multiplies.
Hallelujah.
In Bible, it says that Abraham believed God and God blessed him very much. Now let me read in Galatians, because now we got to go into New Testament. How does it apply to us?
Chapter 3, verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heir according to the promise.
So God made Abraham a promise, a covenant with him. And Paul writes, he says, if you belong to Christ. So the question is, do you belong to Christ today? Is He the Lord of your life? Well then, guess what? You are a seed of Abraham. You are a spiritual Jew. Now if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant and heir according to the promise. Now, God didn't make a covenant only with Abraham, make him an heir of the world, but it's also given to us. When the blessing of God fell upon Abraham's life, guess what God said to him? Whoever blesses you will be blessed. Whoever curses you, be cursed. So that's the blessing. Whoever curses you will be cursed, and whoever blesses you will be blessed. Amazing.
All right, let's keep going. All right, let's open Exodus chapter 1, the verse 7 through 10. And the next one, your enemy fears this blessing to come into your life.
This is beautiful. This is big right here.
But the son of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose in Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, behold, the people of sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or wickedly with them, or crafty with them. Let us deal wisely with them, or they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join themselves to those who hate us, and fight against us, and depart from the land.
Look at this. When they begin to multiply, when you're little, nobody cares about you. Nobody attacks you. Everybody loves you when you're small yet. But when you're big, Pharaoh begins to notice. And our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Curse. Okay? So what it says here is that when Pharaoh noticed that the Israelites were multiplying greatly and was fruitful, he got jealous. He didn't like that. So he said, we got to deal wickedly with them. And so he started killing their firstborn babies, firstborn sons, just children. He started killing them all. Your enemy knows that a person who multiplies might have power to join in with his enemy. He hates God, right? So let me read this again. Your enemy knows that a person who multiplies might have power to join in with his mortal enemy. See, there are so many things that God said about you. And Satan will do everything possible for you not to know what he said about you. Because if you find out what God said about you and decide to live on that, you might join somebody else's will. And then you become Satan's worst nightmare.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Help me, Lord. God's people must know this. If the will of God is known, you might align with it.
That's what Satan is afraid of. So that's why he wants us in church to just talk about everything. He wants me to tell you how sinful you are, and he wants me to tell you how bad you are. But God doesn't want to know that. God doesn't want to tell you that. God says, I have thoughts for you, and thoughts to prosper you, and to give you peace. That's God's thoughts. Whose thoughts are you listening to?
Okay, let's keep going. Number 3, God promises to multiply every area of your life. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 13. God will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. Notice, one.
It's So this blessing is for children, right? Next, fruit of your ground. They used to till the ground. That's what their jobs were. Next one, and your grain. Grain was representing of savings. And your new wine and your oil. The increase of your herd and the young of your flock. In the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. Hallelujah. So notice, a lot of religious people used to tell us that God only wants to multiply you with children. And it's good. We gotta have children. I want children. I love children. I'm from a big family. 7 boys. Hallelujah. Alright, so God obviously wants to multiply us with children. And children are such a blessing. Oh my goodness. Alright, but that's not all God wants to multiply us in. That's not all God wants to multiply you in. He wants to multiply your fields, your job, your bank account, everything that you have. That's what God wants to do. Multiply you. Because decrease is from the devil, increase is from God. Now let's keep going. God wants you to multiply with children. That means you must get married first. Now, there's a right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. Okay? And God wants you to do it the right way. Now, I'm not condemning nobody here. I'm not judging anybody here. But now you know. God wants you to be married. And I said all the women in this church, all the girls in this church will be married. I just prophesied that. I will repeat it. And guys, just start acting on it a little bit. You know, we need more marriages. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We got a lot of beautiful women, ladies in this place. We have a lot of ladies. So, hey, guys. Don't let somebody else from the world steal our ladies. All right. God wants you to multiply financially your income. That's Deuteronomy 8:18, right? For it is God who gives you the power to get wealth so He can establish His covenant with you. Next, God wants to multiply your savings. Okay. It's not the income that makes people rich. It's their ability to save. It's not how much you make. It's how much you save. There is people who make hundreds of thousands and millions a year, but they spend more than they save. And they're poor people. If they were to lose a job, now, you know, the markets are going through something. It's been prophesied. It's been spoken that in September, things are going to start shaking a little bit. It's been said, guys. If you're listening to the word, to the Holy Spirit, things are not always going to be as easy. And Holy Spirit is saying that. And that's why we need to pray for the next president. And so it's God's will, 100%. Okay? And but it's been foretold already. And so it's important for us not to get in debt. Because Bible says, a debtor becomes a slave to the owner. Alright? And so it's important for you to have some savings. Credit card is not savings. Well, I got credit card if, in case of emergency. You have to have some savings in case of emergency. Tanya and I, this is what we do. We give 10% to God. Same amount tomorrow I'm going to put in my savings account. And then I'm going to live on the rest and enjoy it and not feel guilty. Hallelujah. All right, and I wish you all would do that. I mean, I'm going to repeat it till it hits your head and you're like, I got to do this because he won't shut up. I will continue to do that because it's not how much you make. It's how much you save. And it's good to know that if case of emergency, I don't have to freak out. I don't have to panic. I can just go and fix whatever problem, you know, that emergency. Obviously, I have God above all that. Hallelujah. But God gives us wisdom, right? God gives us a lot of wisdom to live. So make sure you have a savings account. If God wants to multiply you, your house. So God wants to multiply every area, and it's not hard for Him to do that. Now God wants to multiply us in good works. And it says it is God who causes us to will and to do according to His good pleasure. It's His good pleasure that we would do good works. Next place, God wants to multiply us in our giving. And this is a interesting thing. I want to give you an illustration, if that's okay. I've learned it in the Bible, but I didn't get it from the Bible. Usually, I have enough job for myself. at my work. You know, I'm self-employed and, you know, I need jobs to come in every day. And every year, for 13 years, I had jobs for myself. This year, I started giving away some of my jobs. And I just realized that I've given away so many jobs and I am still 3 weeks behind. Yesterday, I picked up the biggest contract, the biggest price contract I've ever given. Yeah. It's not me. It's not me. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. No, listen. I'm a failure myself. Don't you dare. I'm a failure myself. God says, when I bless you and multiply you, make sure that you don't say in your heart that it's my hands that made me rich, because it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. So, Bible says, work like He's not helping. No, not Bible. God told me this a long time ago. Work like He's not helping you. Give Him all the glory like you haven't done nothing. So I haven't done nothing. But interesting thing is, the more you give, the more He blesses you. My cup just keeps overflowing. And I was thinking, what if I didn't give those jobs away? I wouldn't be able to do them. I just would lose them because, and God only gives you what you can handle. What makes you think if you're going through trouble and God won't give you more trouble than you can handle, why would He give you more blessing than you can handle? A lot of us, look at this, a lot of us, when we go through trouble, God, please don't give me any more. I don't want this type of blessing, the trouble type. Trial. But when we, because I can't handle it, Lord, I'm weak. But then we turn around and say, Lord, bless me so much where I can't handle it anymore. God says, I can't do that. My principle works one way, the same way, and the other the same way. I will not give you more than you can handle. God will not give this church more than we can handle. God will not give us more than we can handle. So whatever He gives us, I want to just tell you, you can handle it. Hallelujah. So if you want more blessing in your life, begin to expend yourself spiritually. Begin to be the one who can handle more. Hallelujah. What time is it? Oh, Jesus. He wants you to multiply in giving, in righteousness, fruits of the Spirit, that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. He wants you to multiply in the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are different than fruits of the Spirit. That's speaking in tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongue, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits, gifts of healing, and gifts of miracle. That's nine of them. Nine fruits, nine gifts of the Spirit. You know, in 1 Corinthians, it says, I wish that you would all prophesy. 14:1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you prophesy. Huh. So listen to what Paul says. Desire spiritual gifts. Well, what you desire will come towards you. Amen. All right? So He wants us to multiply in spiritual gifts, and He wants us to multiply in the greatest gift. What is the greatest gift? Love. The greatest gift is love, because God is love. He wants us to multiply in wisdom, faith, and He wants us to multiply in our salvation. How can you multiply in salvation? Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Next one, multiply as a Christian. So it's not only finances. A lot of us, all we want God to do is finances for us. But God says, if you want it all, then here, multiply in all of it. See, religion has told us, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. After you stop doing everything, you didn't know what you're supposed to do. But God says, multiply in every area of your life. If you want it all, then here, multiply in all of it. This is something I want to just quickly tell you, a side note. Especially the area we should multiply is in the area of our gifts and our skills. If I am a singer, that's my special gift. Jesus said, if one talent has been given to you, you must multiply that. So what is your gift? You might be a musician, you might be a businessman, you might be a teacher, You might be a politician. Hallelujah. Whatever your gift is, Jesus, He wants you to multiply because you will be responsible for that gift. What God did is God rented you, invested a gift in you. And He says, when I come back, I want double. And Jesus spoke so much about multiplication. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that's thrown in the ground and the smallest, and it grows up and becomes multiplies and produces a lot of harvest. Kingdom of heaven like a farmer sowing a seed and it grows and multiplies. Bible is about multiplication. Bible is about multiplying as a Christian. How can I multiply as a Christian? Well, in New Life Church, we have this plus one idea. Bring one soul in 1 year to Jesus. Have you brought anybody to Jesus yet? Someday we'll come to heaven and God will ask us. He'll say, who did you bring with you? And you say, well, my loved ones. And God will say, what about my loved ones? What about your neighbor? Didn't you love them? Well, then you didn't fulfill my commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's commandment number two. Love God and love people. So we have a great opportunity for God to say to us, you just reached one person for Jesus, but that person reached one more. And look, those 6,000 or 10,000 or whatever people, they are here in heaven because of you. They don't have to be tormented in heaven because of you. Because you reached out to somebody, just one person. And you know what? You didn't think you'd do much. But I multiply whatever you do. God said to Moses, choose talented people, wise people, to build me a tabernacle. And in the heart of every wise man, I will put wisdom. God wants to multiply every area of our life, people. And it almost seemed like, how can I multiply in all of them? I mean, by the time I'll get done with first one, I'll forget the other one. There's so much to multiply. Well, do you want it all? Hey, some of you want it all. I know that. Well, then have it. Have it all. Multiply in all of it. Some of you can multiply in a few of them. But whatever you do, multiply. You know what top model is? Top model Christian is the one who multiplies. I come to Andre and he loves half a gallon today. Next year I come, he loves a gallon. Oh, Andre multiplies. Wow, you love so much more. Third year I come, he's got 2 gallons of love in him. I'm just saying. Wow, he's multiplying. But if I come to him, oh wow, he's a nice guy. Next year I come, oh, he's okay, same guy. Come third year, same guy, no fruitfulness. And the tree, Jesus said, that does not produce fruit will be chopped down. Trees are for multiplication. Starts with one seed, becomes huge. I imagine myself coming to Jesus someday. He says, what did you do? I said, I did all I could, Lord. I don't know. I don't know who was saved, who was not, but I did all I could. And I would just love to see on the glass sea. It says multitude, great multitude, the number that no one could count. Singing a song of Moses, great and mighty works you have done, O Lord. Oh, I'd just be so excited to see all of you in my little corner in heaven. On that Red Sea, just new life, you know? The crazy ones, hallelujah. Worshiping God, like. And then you come and then you say, Lord, I'm a foolish servant, only done what was my duty. That's what the Bible teaches us. After you've done everything, you say, I didn't do anything. You remember that scripture? He says, after you've done all those things, say, I'm unprofitable. Help me out. I'm an unprofitable servant, only done what was my duty. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Make a decision today that I'm going to bring at least one person to Christ in my life. And this plus one is so awesome. A lot of you were brought because of this plus one. A lot of you started to know Jesus because Alex was the one I was praying for. And look what God is doing in his life. Somebody else brought somebody else here. And then they brought somebody else. And God is changing lives. And this is just the beginning. Life is not over yet. Hallelujah.